Every Mother's Day, I do a little something here. We like to honor, give a lay to the mom who has had the most children. The most children. Because you deserve a lay on this day. Amen. I don't know how you've done it. So I'm going to start with a number and start working down, okay? Has anybody here had 100 kids? Okay, good. How about 99? No, we'll get lower. How about anybody, if you had 12 kids, raise your hand. Okay, I know that's a lot, yeah, but you never know, right? How about 11 children? Anybody here? Anybody? Okay. How about 10 children? Anybody? Anybody? One child? No. How about 9 children? Okay, no Catholics here. Okay. I'm only kidding. Okay. How about 8 children? Oh, we're getting there. Okay. How about 7 children? Oh, we're really going on. How about 6? Oh, wait. What do we got? Not 6 or 7? 6. Anybody with 6? We got 2 sixes? We got 3 sixes. Okay, Denny, where are you? Denny, please stand up. 6 children. God bless you. Stand up, and we have a lay for all 3 of you. Amen. We got one over here, and one over here. Yeah, right over there by the wall over there. We have 6. Okay, and also I hope you enjoy your little treat and the little chocolate. My wife loves chocolates. Oh, Daryl, you got to give him chocolate. Yeah, chocolate. Amen. God bless you, ladies. 6 kids. Boy, that'll keep you busy, huh? Wow. My wife and I had 2, and that was whew. Okay. I always told her I wanted 3, and she goes, no, 2's enough. That's it. I'm done. All right. Okay, and the last thing that I do is, I hope we don't have another tie. Who just gave birth? Did you give birth this morning? Raise your hand. Dedicated churchgoer, right? Yes, I just gave birth. It was in the parking lot. What a woman. Okay. Did you give birth within the last week? How's that? Anybody? You might be in the lobby for that matter. How about in the last 2 weeks? Anybody? In the last 3 weeks? Come on, we're supposed to be fruitful and multiplying here. How about the last month? Anybody got a month, 1 month old? How about the last, what would it be, 5 weeks? 6 weeks? 7 weeks? Do you have a 12-year-old? Oh, wait, there's one out there in the lobby. Oh, inside. Oh, Jasmine. Okay, Jasmine, God bless you. You get one. How many weeks is it now? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? 5 weeks. God bless you guys. They're in the lobby. There you go. Congratulations. Awesome. You know, one thing that we try to do is we fight for the precious lives of babies here at our church. And when we were in Brisbane, my wife and I, we were, and I'll share more about this next week, but just a little tidbit. We got onto a radio station called Vision Radio for 1 hour. We were interviewed and phone calls came in from Australians. We talked about the Lord Jesus, of course, our Christian faith, and about the pro-life work that's going on. And it was a great time of ministry. And I thought that the radio station was only in Brisbane, reaching Brisbane. But the guy goes, well, you guys, you just reached 693 stations across all of Australia. Isn't that cool how God opens the door? And they're going through a battle right now between Australia and pro-life and the Planned Parenthood and all these things over there also. So we were able to minister over there and talk about the pro-life center here and movement in America and our battles, and then also counsel and help ladies that were calling in regards to abortion, in regards to babies, and it was a great blessing. So you just never know what God's going to do. Let's pray and ask God to bless his word. Father, may you teach us now Jesus, may you guide our hearts. May we learn of your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Okay, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Happy Mother's Day from the beginning to the present. This is something I always share, not always, but sometimes, on funny quotes about mothers of famous people. Paul Revere's mother, I don't care where you think you have to go, young man. Midnight is past your curfew. Mona Lisa's mother, after all that money your father and I spent on braces, Mona, is that the biggest smile you can give us? Columbus's mother, I don't care what you've discovered, Christopher, you still could have written. How about Babe Ruth's mother? Babe, how many times have I told you, don't play baseball in the house. You've broken 3 windows this week. Finally and last of all, Michelangelo's mother, Mike, can't you paint on the walls like other children? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get that off the ceiling? Okay. It's just kind of fun, all right? Moms of the Bible, book of Genesis, let's start with Eve. We find that God says in chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female, he created them. How does God define a man and a woman as male and female, and they're to come together as male and female, contrary to our culture today? And of course, we are hammered with homosexuality continuously to brainwash us against God. I will not be brainwashed against God. I will love all people, wanting to lead them to Jesus Christ, but we will not compromise our faith. God made them male and female. Jesus said that in Matthew 19. God made them male and female in the beginning, and they're to be male and female. If someone thinks they're transgender, I will do my best to lead them to Jesus Christ, to lead them out of the deceptions of Satan, and to identify with the way God has made them. Remember, Satan wants all people to rebel in all areas of their life against God. We hate nobody. We are not bigoted. We are not prejudiced. But we will speak the truth in love to all people. God wants a man to be married to a woman to be married to a man. God does not want a man to be married to a man, and God does not want a woman to be married to a woman. And God doesn't want a man to change into a woman, and God doesn't want a woman to change into a man. And this is our battle, to reach people in the love of Jesus Christ and fight against the devil, his deceptions, and his lies. Now, our world is obviously, we're in the last days, and it says everything it will do will be against the ways of God. In fact, the Bible says when the Antichrist is revealed, he will be called the lawless one. Lawless, what does that mean? Everything he does will be against the laws of God, the laws of nature, the laws of who God is as a creator, the laws of his son Jesus Christ as a savior, the Ten Commandments, against all those laws, he will be known as the lawless one and he will lead the world. And thus the spirit of Antichrist is with us today. We recognize this. Now I know the world wants you to be, they'll label you as intolerant, they'll label you as a xenophobe, they'll label you as a homophobe, and they use all these terms to label you. And you just tell them straight up, I am a Christian, and I love them. And the Bible says this is a sinful way. I know what it is to be in sin. God saved me from my sins, and I want to tell them about Jesus Christ because I want them to go to heaven. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, it makes no difference. But I'm going to share my faith with them because I believe there's life after death. And those that come to Jesus Christ for salvation, their lives will be changed and they'll go to heaven. And those that reject Jesus Christ at the point of death, well, they'll be heading to hell. And God doesn't want anyone to perish, but for all people to come to repentance. to turn from that which is wrong, to turn to that which is right, according to God and His Word. So this is what we find. God makes them male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there was life. I've given every herb for food, and it was so. Now, years ago, I heard a Bible study, and it was about these things that creeps on the earth. And it was a warning to all single ladies. And the warning was, ladies, watch out. There's a lot of creeps creeping on the earth. Don't marry one of them. Amen. All right. Don't marry a creep. Amen. Guys, don't be a creep. Amen. Sorry, I just had to throw that up. Then God saw everything that He had made. And indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now when God, the sixth day, God made Adam and Eve, the last bit of masterpiece, last bit of God's masterpiece was the woman. And that's when God says, and it's very good. Ladies, you are beautiful. God loves you. Don't let the world change you. Don't let the world degrade you. You'll be a beautiful lady of God. Amen? God has great plans for you. Our very first mom, her name was Eve. She was very good. She did make a mistake, though, there in the Garden of Eden. She entertained a conversation with Satan himself. The serpent came into the garden and said, hey, look, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be as God. She began to look at it. She began to desire it. And the Bible says she was deceived and she ate of it. Then she called her husband, and then Adam, in absolute disobedience, knowing what God had told him, partook of the fruit also. It's important for both of us, as husband and wife, to maintain our spiritual walk in Christ. To stay in the Word of God. Don't follow the temptations of the devil and live a good, godly life for the benefit of our marriage and the benefit of our children and grandchildren and future generations. And all God's people said, amen. So here's the story of Eve. Go with me to verse chapter 3, verse 14, as we pick up after she ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Up until that point, Adam and Eve only knew God and the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the love of God, the kindness of God, and so forth. But now they know good and evil. Their eyes were open, the Bible says. And thus we all vacillate between good and evil. And thus we need to be remade into the image of God. And that's why Jesus came and died for our sins. And thus He calls out to us and says, you must be born again. Born again from heaven. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the evil that is in you. To recognize truth as compared to the deceptions of this world and of the devil himself and of your flesh. You need the Word of God to guide you and to help you. And when you receive the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, then the Word of God becomes a truth in your own heart and life, and now you're able to overcome evil in your own heart, in your own speech, in your own mind, and in this world. Now Adam and Eve had sinned. The Bible says in verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. The serpent, of course, Satan in the garden. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The blow to the head is a crushing blow. The birth of the Savior through woman, through the lineage of women, will crush the head of the serpent. But yet, the seed of the woman that which is born, the Savior of the world, his heel would be bruised. See, he'll be knocked down, but not taken out. Satan is taken out. See, he no longer has authority over our lives as we've come to the seed of the woman, which is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that when Mary conceived the Christ child, he was not conceived by Joseph, the one she was betrothed to Mary, but rather she was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and the Christ child was born. And this is the seed that he's talking about, and there's enmity between the two, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the flesh. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother, you can highlight this, the mother of all living. Also for Adam, his wife, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim, an angelic being, at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life, lest he live eternally in his sins. He'll give us a new tree of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son, who will die upon the wooden cross. That wooden cross becomes our tree of life. The Bible also declares in the book of Revelation, as we are in the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, there will also be a tree of life for the healing of the nations. The Bible declares here that Adam called his wife's name Eve. Now, I want you to understand something. There's something going through the body of Christ right now where there are those who look at the story of the Garden of Eden and the creation of the first man and woman as a mythological story, as kind of an example of how we kind of came into our existence. This is not a mythological story. This is a historical story. How do we know this? Names are given. Children that are born to them, their names are given, and their lifespans are given. This is an historical story of absolute fact on the creation of man and woman. As I spoke in one of the high schools there in Australia, I opened it up for questions and answers. And yes, inevitably, the question came up, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? And I have to always answer, I really don't know. Now, God could have put one in there just to relate for what their children will have down the road, or maybe not. I don't know what it would look like without to have a belly button because we're so used to it. I don't know. Might look a little strange, but I like our innies or our outies, whatever you have. Anyway, this is what we find. But Adam called his wife's name Eve because she is the mother of all living. God gave you ladies an amazing opportunity in the life that we live. You get to participate in God's ultimate creation. As you become pregnant, and then you bring a baby into the world. Now, I want you to think about this, ladies. Each and every one of you, as you will become pregnant, or you've been pregnant, maybe six kids. But what you find is, when you become pregnant, you pretty much will know what the process is because you Google it. No, you talk to your mom, your grandma, and so forth, and they share with you what you're going to experience and these different things, and the 2 months and 3 months and 6 months, and then right at birth and so forth. Honey, this is what's going to happen, da-da-da-da-da. But for Eve, think about it. She had no clue. All of a sudden, something's growing inside of her. All of a sudden, she's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, at the end of 9 months, labor pains take place. She had no one to talk to about this. No mom that would say, honey, this is what's going to happen. And so here's Adam and Eve, the two of them, with the first child being born. Now, the good news is the Heavenly Father was with them. And he's going to be with them through the whole process. So he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen? In every aspect of our life, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Now, I do know that Mother's Day sometimes can be a tough day for those who are not able to conceive. And let me say this. Our prayers are with you. I can't give you an answer why. Medically, there may be certain reasons. It's part of our fallen state. That's why we have disease and death and everything. But I want you to know God is not punishing you. God loves you. Sometimes things are just the way they are. There are other options for adoption or other things. It's up to you, whatever God has for you. But our prayers are with you. So I don't want to be remiss in not touching base with you, okay? In fact, let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And our hearts go out for those ladies who possibly are having a very difficult time conceiving. We don't know if it's on the side of the man or her side or just the mix of the two not working. But we pray some way, somehow, Lord, miraculously, that you would take over. You would touch that womb and just bring forth the child as it is truly the desires of their heart. And Lord, if it doesn't take place, thy will be done. You know what's best for all of us. You understand us inside and out. But Lord, we pray and ask for this miracle in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I will say this much, and it's not me. Years ago, there was two ladies in our church, and they came up separately, separate times, and they said, the doctor has told me that I can't get pregnant. And we prayed for the one, and she came back a few months later and says, guess what? I'm pregnant. Another one, the same thing. And guess what? I'm pregnant. Now, I'm not saying it works all the time because there's other times. No, it hasn't happened. So I don't know if it's a misdiagnosis, but I'll give all glory to God. Amen? Amen. All right. So here you have the creation of Adam and Eve, and Eve is the mother of all living. She's going to participate in that glorious creation that God allows you ladies to experience. We observe in Genesis chapter 4 that Eve gives birth to two children, Cain and Abel. Life is truly, I put here, a box of chocolates. You just don't know what you're going to get. She had, of course, Cain and Abel. Cain became a very jealous, envious, and hateful man as he grew up. And Abel, on the other hand, was loving, kind, and a worshiper of God, where Cain wasn't. And of course, we know the story. Cain ultimately ends up murdering his brother. Now, I want you to think about the heartache that took place within Adam and Eve's hearts in regards to this experience. Many times our children don't always bring us the best of experiences. And I look at God's heart for his first two kids, Adam and Eve. How it must have broke his heart when his children rebelled against him. Now listen, sometimes when our kids rebel, they don't follow the ways of the Lord, we start looking at ourselves as we raised them in the ways of the Lord, we raised them in the church, we did all these things to feed them the word of God, on and on we can go, and one or both or all, I don't know, hopefully not, but they go astray. You'll find out what they're all about as they approach the teenage years. Jesus said the tree will bear its fruit. But I don't want you as a parent to begin to blame yourself and say, I'm such a failure, I'm such a failure, I'm such a failure. That's Satan's way of just condemning you and depressing you and putting you out of business. What does God want us to do? God wants us to realize that our kids are little sinners, just like us. We make little sinners, okay? And everybody's got to come to the Savior. They can't get to heaven on our coattails. They can't get to heaven because they attended Sunday school. They have to make a personal decision for Jesus Christ at some point in their life. Now, they may make it when they're little, but the reality of that decision will begin to manifest itself. In other words, is it absolutely true? Is it absolutely absolute that they had committed their heart to Christ as they get older? If they go astray, well, you know what? It's time now for the age of accountability. They need to make an accountable, sincere, real decision to follow Jesus Christ, to surrender their will to God. Amen. See, that's the real issue. And they surrender according to the will, to the word of God. Peter said, you must be born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And if your child is not living according to the word of God, do not compromise. Tell them the truth in love. And say, look, son, look, daughter, I know you made these decisions growing up, but it appears that you have left the Lord, you've gone astray, you're living a lifestyle that's immoral, and I love you as your dad or as your mom, and this is what the Bible says. You need to get right with God, you need to repent of your sins, and you need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't rescue your kids. Don't rescue them. Remember the prodigal son? The prodigal left. He left. Did the dad go running after him? No. That son had to reach the bottom until finally there was nothing left. And then he repented, came back home, and now you bring them in and you embrace them. I love the story that Jesus says about that prodigal son. When the father saw the son coming back as a broken young man, he threw open the door. He ran down that walkway. He grabbed his son, and he hugged him, and he kissed him, and he loved him. Once my son was lost, now he's found. Once he was blind, now he, what? Sees. And I see that picture of our Heavenly Father running to us every time one sinner repents and turns back to God, their Creator. Isn't that a marvelous, marvelous story? Jesus lays this out so we understand the great love of God. The father didn't run out there and grab his son by the shirt collar and say, you dumb kid, bam, you wasted my money. No, you may want, feel like doing that, but no. You see, he embraced him and loved him. And this is exactly what God does for us. So sometimes some kids will just follow the Lord, and other times they're going to go astray. And sometimes they can be radical prodigals. But once they get saved, they become radical for Jesus. Amen? Because they're really saved. Amen. So here is the story of Adam and Eve with their first two boys. And I wanted to share that with you. Eve was always a woman of faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. She'll give birth to another son that replaces Abel, and of course his name is Seth. And Seth is the godly line. So you can always see that Adam and Eve would share with their children about God's creation and how God brought them together to be one. And we see the story of creation given and passed on throughout generation after generation all the way to Jesus Christ, and of course now we have it, as it's been written down for all of us through Moses in what's called the Pentateuch or the Torah. Because God wanted us to know from our first parents what the story of life is. You know, you can do that DNA check and they can tell you kind of like your ancestry, there it is, your ancestry, where you're from, and so on and so forth. But you know what? I don't even have to pay for it. I know where I'm from. Adam and Eve, amen? All of us together. And you know what Paul the Apostle writes in the book of Acts? He says, guys, look it. We've all come from the same heritage. In fact, when you cut ourselves open, we all bleed the same blood. It's all red. Doesn't matter what skin color we are. Doesn't matter the color of hair, color of eyes, shape of eyes. Doesn't matter. Shape of body. It doesn't matter. We've all come from one lineage, Adam and Eve. And we come to one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who washes us with holy and righteous blood. Amen. All right, let's carry on. So the next mom is a miracle mom named Sarah. Go with me to Genesis chapter 18, real quick. Genesis 18. In Genesis 18, we have Sarah. Sarah was unable to have children. We find ourselves in verse 9. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. So Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid." And he said, "No, but you did laugh." And of course, the child's going to be named what? Isaac, which means what? Laughter. Children bring joy to our hearts. And of course, Sarah, we know, is going to become pregnant at about 90 years old, and then 9 months later, give birth to this beautiful little child named Isaac. Laughter. And what joy this child brought to their hearts. Amen. And God fulfilled his promises, but with Sarah and Abraham, he had, of course, performed this miraculous pregnancy that took place. Abraham was 100, she was 90 when the child was born. And of course, bodily functions didn't work. You've heard the story many times. And all of a sudden, miraculously, Abraham felt frisky, and the next thing you know, she's pregnant. Okay. Is that okay, frisky? Okay. Ever onwards. So this is the great story of Abraham and Sarah, and they're getting a son. And God loves to do things in interesting ways. Always trust in God. Of course, it is a representation of the miraculous virgin birth of Christ, where he would be conceived in a virgin, in Isaiah, as Isaiah the prophet declared, 7:14. Now, the Apostle Peter, in Genesis 21, 1-3, it says here, when Sarah was 90, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac, laughter." A side note on Sarah's life, in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, it talks about the deadness of Sarah's womb. Peter declares that Sarah was a woman. No matter what, she was a woman that always trusted God. And ladies, that's a great attribute. Always trust God. Yes, through the thick, through the thin, through the depressing, and through the exciting. Always trust God no matter what. We also find in Hebrews 11:11, "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." Her faith was in God and not in herself. God always does the work. Sarah was also a woman of faith, hope, and love, just like Eve. I pray all you mothers and all you ladies will always be a woman of faith, hope, and love. The mother of Moses, Exodus chapter 2, 1-10, special delivery. The great lesson, once again, is faith, hope, and love. Moses may have said, "I owe it all to my mother." In Hebrews 11, 23-29, let's go there and read real quickly. Go to Hebrews, the New Testament. Just jump over there with me. Hebrews, we have a great lesson here. Hebrews, in the middle of your New Testament, chapter 11, which is known as the roll call of faith. The roll call of faith. They're not perfect people, but they're faithful people. They're sinners saved by grace, but and even in their mistakes, they kept and maintained their faith in God. We find here in chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. Now, I don't know what would happen if he was an ugly child, if they would have done this, but I just found it interesting that they wrote that. He was a beautiful child. If he was ugly, would you not have saved him? But anyway, he was a beautiful child. They would have. Okay, all children are beautiful. Amen? There are no ugly babies. Amen. Sometimes our heads get a little disfigured with coming out, though, but kind of a cone head we've got, honey. Anyway, it'll shape. Don't worry. If you've never had a child, it'll get the right form. All right. Don't want to worry you. We're not afraid of the king's command. In other words, Pharaoh had commanded that all male babies were to be killed in Egypt because they were becoming too many people. And yet the parents, the mother especially in Exodus, says that she took the things to make a basket, branches, she formed it into a basket, and that she covered it with pitch, a tar, which made it so it wouldn't sink. And then she floated it down the Nile River. Now, I've gone down the Nile River years ago, back in 1981. It's a dirty river, but it does move. She floated a little baby Moses down that Nile River. And of course, God directed a little baby to a special place where Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket as it went into this little side tributary where they were bathing. And she opened it up, and there was a precious Hebrew baby. And she recognized it was a Hebrew baby. And the Bible says that God put it in her heart to have compassion. And she says, let's take the baby, and let's get one of the Hebrew moms that are nursing, and she can now nurse this little baby. And, of course, Moses' sister, Miriam, followed the little basket down the river, saw what had happened, and she then spoke up and said, I know who can nurse the baby. I know one. Okay, could you go get her? So she ends up getting the mom of Moses. She gets to nurse her baby. Now, the Hebrew ladies would always do this when they had a little baby. They'd whisper into their ears saying, Yahweh is Lord. Yahweh is Lord. Yahweh is Lord. Always leading them in the ways of God, their creator, their first love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's what Moses would write in Deuteronomy chapter 6, a beautiful passage for family, as he later on would write the Torah. Where did he learn all this? God and his own experience. By faith, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. This little baby, Moses means to be drawn out. In fact, there was two pharaohs who actually had that same etymology of the word Moses in their name as one to be drawn out. Moses was drawn out of the River Nile. But really, he was drawn out by God. He was drawn by God to do a work for God. He spent 40 years in Egypt experiencing the pleasures of the world and the Egyptians and all their gods, but he would not bow to them. He would not worship them because his mother took him and said, Yahweh is Lord. Oh, the influence you ladies have on your kids. Oh, it's powerful. Now, when I say that, I'm not going to let men off the hook. Amen? Gentlemen, we must do the same for our children, to teach them and to train them in the ways of the Lord. And all God's men said, amen, amen. You see, but this is a powerful, powerful connection God has given between a mom and the little ones, okay? Girl or boy. It's beautiful. I thank God for my mother, Janice Elizabeth Skinner. She was awesome. You know, my mom was the type of mom, she never had to spank us. She would just give us that look. And we knew we had totally disappointed her. And with that look, you're like, okay, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because what was the overriding factor for all things was that she loved us so much. And she did so much for us. We're like, how can I do that to my mom? You know, it was one of those. Now, I wasn't a perfect kid. As you get older, you get more rebellious, and you kind of sneaking all over the place, right? But you know what? She was the first one to become a Christian in our family in her 40s. She was always a good lady, but she had not completely surrendered her heart to Christ just because she'd not heard the message. She just wasn't sure what that was all about. She just told us kids we're Protestants. That was it. But then she became born again. Oh, boy. She started going to church every Sunday. Mom, aren't you going to watch football with us? You're going to church again? Come on, son. Oh, no, Mom, no. I'm hanging out with Dad, my older brother. But she would go to church every Sunday. Nobody would go with her. Just consistent, loving Jesus. I find her up late at night in our formal living room at a desk. And I said, Mom, what are you writing? She's writing. It's like I just woke up to, you know, you go to the restroom, right? The light's on. I go in there, Mom, what are you doing up? What are you writing? I'm a teenager, right? I'm writing poetry to Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah. She's really flipped out. Oh, but what an impression that made on me. Her love for God. Her love for God. Reading the Bible, praying. As much as I want to ignore it because I knew I wanted to live my heathen life, it was impacting my life day by day by day. Till at the age of 21, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. First of four kids to give my heart to Jesus, our hearts to Jesus Christ. Then within a year, my brother, then my sisters. Then 10 years later, my dad. You see, my friends, moms, what an impact you have. You may think they're not listening and not paying attention. I guarantee you, you, through the Holy Spirit and through the life you live, you are tremendously impacting those that will follow the Lord and those that are rebellious. Please, please, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Faith, hope, love. So this was the life of Moses' mom and the impact. Now, let me just jump into the New Testament real quickly. We know that there was a beautiful mom named Elizabeth. She ended up giving birth to one that's known as John the Baptist. And what a fireball he was. Amen? That guy was afraid of nobody. And don't tell me he just did it on his own. He got that conviction, that drive, that will from his parents. Surely from his mother also. They were spoken about what this child, John the Baptist, will be like. He's going to be a voice in the wilderness. He's going to be like an Elijah. He's going to be committed. He's going to have conviction. He won't be afraid of people. He won't be afraid of religious leaders. He won't be afraid of the government. He's going to speak the word of truth and lead people to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That came from his parents. How about Mary, the mother of Jesus? Woman of faith, Luke 1:45, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is the woman that believes, has faith. Mama Mary is filled with hope, Luke 1:47 and 48. My spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. How about Mary's love and commitment? She was a woman of faith, hope, and love. John 19:26-27, when Jesus, hanging on the cross, therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Mary could not leave her son, Jesus Christ. She was not afraid of death. She watched her son be crucified. We have nothing to fear in Jesus Christ. Faith, hope, and love. My mother went to heaven. Ovarian cancer. Got her. 72. Never before had I ever experienced such a broken heart. Stronger than my dad when he passed before her, 1 year before her. I never knew what grief was until my mother passed away. I felt it with my dad, but not like with my mom. Oh, ladies, what power you have in raising your children. We love you. We're so grateful for you. Please help me stop crying. Amen. Paul the Apostle said this about Timothy's godly mother and grandmother. He says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, be mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also." I came across a mother's insight. She said, "It's so easy to get bogged down with the grind of daily activities in the home, isn't it? There can be times when you feel you are stuck in the mire with no hope of accomplishing anything. Yes, the practical physical labor of mothering can be wearying, but it is our attitude toward homemaking and mothering that imprisons or frees us. It is how we value our task as a mother that determines whether we will be depressed or joyful. I believe it is important for us to get a long-term vision for our divine calling of parenthood. It is often hard to feel that you are accomplishing very much staying at home, changing diapers, wiping noses, cooking meals, and daily training little children. It is important to see beyond the frustrations of your everyday tasks and look ahead. You are not only training children for today, but for the future. Your influence is powerful and far-reaching as you diligently teach God's ways to your children. You are establishing principles and guidelines for future generations. God's ultimate plan is for godly generations. He has commanded each generation to pass on his ways and his laws to the next generation," writes this beautiful mom. And then she concluded with Psalm 145:4, which says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." You ladies are God's gift to children. Your love, your faith, your hope penetrates deeply into their souls. And yes, as well as men. husbands, fathers. We together as a family unit will change the next generation for the nation and into the whole world. I came across William and Catherine Booth. They were founders of the Salvation Army. Catherine Booth was used of God to win thousands into the kingdom of God, God through her preaching. But she was first the foremost and foremost a mother. As a young person, she stated, "I intend to make myself fit to be a mother, and being that in every sense, I shall be ready for any destiny that God may put upon me." As she was dying, she cried these words, "Try to raise up mothers. Mothers are the want of the world." William and Catherine Booth had 8 children. They were faithful to train them for God. Every one of those 8 children served God in a mighty way. Not only did they train their children, but also the intensity of their training continued into the following generations. They had 45 grandchildren, and every one of them also served God with all their hearts, many on the mission field. Even their great-grandchildren continued as missionaries. It was Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. This is a great story. You remember Jonathan Edwards for his famous sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God"? Jonathan and Sarah had 11 children and were ardent in training their children for God. In 1900, A. Winship tracked down 1,400 descendants of this family. By 1900, this godly marriage had produced 13 college presidents, 65 professors, 100 lawyers and a dean of an outstanding law school, 30 judges, 60 doctors, and a dean of a medical school, 80 holders of public office, including 3 United States senators, 3 mayors of large cities, 3 state governors, vice president of the United States, and controller of the United States Treasury. Members of the family wrote 135 books and edited 18 journals and periodicals. They entered the ministry in platoons and sent 100 missionaries overseas, as well as stocking many, many mission boards with lay trustees. They directed banks, insurance companies, owned coal mines, iron plants, vast oil interests. Winship states, "There is scarcely any American industry that has not had one of this family among its chief promoters." Because of the responsibilities of Jonathan Edwards' ministry, Winship goes on to say, quote, "Much of the capacity and talent, intensity, and character of the Edwards family is due to Mrs. Sarah Edwards," end of quote. The influence of one godly mother has continued down through the generations to affect the destiny of a nation. Oh, how far-reaching is the power of a godly mother. In contrast to the Edwards family, 1,200 of the Jukes family were tracked down. They originated with one immigrant who settled in upstate New York in 1720 and produced a tribe of idleness, ignorance, and vulgarity. Only 20 of the 1,200 Jukes ever had any gainful employment, and all the others were criminals or lived on state aid. This is the power of the gospel, my friends. The power of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that changes lives and makes us useful for one another. Fulfilling the 2 great commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. This is what changes a nation. This is what changes Hawaii. This is what changes your neighborhoods. By you and I having faith, hope, and love. As 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Love." And thank God for a mother's love. Let's stand and pray. Could all the mothers please raise your hands one more time? All right. Let's say a prayer for you. Father, we lift up these mothers right now, and we thank you for their love and what you have given them, Lord. It's not easy being a mom. It can be hair-raising. Running here, running there, doing this, doing that, taking care of these young ones, and then tracking down taking care of your husband who's acting like a kid. Lord, may you guide their hearts. May you strengthen their lives. May you bless them mightily and abundantly. Oh, Lord, we thank you for moms and for those moms that we've already prayed for that would like to become pregnant. Lord, we lift them to you once again. Father, we as husbands, as dads, make sure we do not ignore our responsibilities to love our wife, to honor the mother of our children, to bless her mightily and abundantly. And all you ladies can say, preach it, Pastor. Anyway, but to touch their hearts and their lives with our love and to be the one that comes and just helps them in all the activities that she is doing. Lord, make us one in the work of your kingdom, in the love of the Spirit, in the faith, and in the hope of Jesus Christ. May you bless mightily and abundantly. One last thing. If you're not saved this morning, oh, my dear friend, as everyone is praying for the salvation of souls, if you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, you want to be born again, you want the power of the Holy Spirit to work in you, if you want the Word of God to come alive in your soul, if you want you to go to heaven when you die, not hell, if you want that, Jesus is here for you. If you want him, raise your hand. Anybody here not saved, you want to get saved, raise your hand right now. Anybody here? I know this is a mom's message, but just want to make sure. Let's all stay together in heaven, amen, forever. Anybody? Last call. Father, may your hand of blessing be upon all. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen.